from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm still that guy.
Do you hate watch Florida?
Yeah, I don't. I hate the Gators.
Okay.
I hate the Gators.
You do practice.
I don't practice. It's just certain teams. But for the most part, I love sports.
Everyone.
But I don't watch the Gators every day. I don't watch the Gators. I leave their games alone. I'm watching Florida State. There's so many college football games.
I love the Giants.
So,
you're acting like I don't love. I love the Giants.
No,
I love them so much.
I don't
like my brother. I'm in a beef with them every now and then. That happens.
I don't disagree with
that.
That
happens with family. Like, the fights that you get in with family are unlike any other fight you get in with anyone else.
Here's my thing, though. I'm done exhausting energy on this regime. I did that during the trade deadline week.
So you're
I said what I said.
You're jogging like Lamont Wade Jr.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to the finish line to see what happens. What happens the first day after the season's over and the Giants don't make the playoffs? What are they going to do? Are they going to let guys go? Are they going to bring guys back? What are they going to do? That's what I'm waiting for. The team is what it is. I know what they are now. They're a 500 baseball team. So there's no sense of me letting the pendulum swing left and right, saying, oh, my God, I'm throwing it. I know who they are now. They told me who they are. They showed me who they are with their actions. So I'm not going to waste an extra ounce of energy. I'm going to watch them. Say, hey, hopefully Kyle Harris is getting better. Hopefully Hayden Pierce is getting better.
When you watch Chip Kelly run the same fourth and short, slow developing read option keeper for the quarterback to get plowed in the backfield, that didn't drive you nuts in the midst of a lost season?
It could drive you nuts. Shanahan does the same damn thing.
They win. They bring me some level of, like, excellence, right? Like, the Giants aren't excellent at anything.
Yeah, the Chip Kelly team, you knew they were bad. So what I did was I did the complete opposite. So remember NFL Films?
I was rooting against the Niners so they could fire everyone.
So you remember NFL Films and how they have the blooper reel? And you show a season full of bloopers.
Yeah.
That's how I watched that Niners team with Chip Kelly. I said, okay, what are they going to do that's so laughable today? What's going to come out of this that's going to become a comedy? Wow, they're featuring Jeremy Curley today. Or how are they going to blow this game?
Yeah, but
you know, that, so,
you
like,
didn't want
I
them to
know.
Win six games so that they kept them another year.
I mean, like I said last week, once the ball is kicked off, I want my team to win. The records go out the window.
Yeah, see, there are specific moments where I'm rooting for a loss for draft position in football, right? In baseball, it's just, I mean, I want to win every game. Baseball makes me crazy. It just does.
I hear you.
And again, I know I sound absurd because it's not worth, you know, losing your mind, but it's the exhaustion of 6 years of the same crap.
But see, I'm a competitor in the sense that once, like, Connect Four, for example, Like, it's hard for me. For example, I'm playing an iPad with my daughter, and there's these little games. We could play air hockey. Mm-hmm. We could play all these games with my daughter, right? Basketball. And, like, I know I can win every single time. But then when I'm letting her win and the clock is running down, I'm like, I don't like losing. Yeah, in the back of my head, I'm just like, I just don't like losing.
Yeah.
So when the Chip Kelly-led Niners, when they would kick off the ball, when the kickoff happened and the game started, I wanted to win the damn game. Wanted to win the game. Okay. I just like winning. I like winning. So when they did lose, it's like, damn. Well, there's a silver lining. Okay, they're 2-14. Everybody's going to get fired. That's going to happen anyway. But once the game starts, no matter what, even with the Giants and White Sox, I don't want them to lose to the damn White Sox.
I didn't say I want them to lose, but I'm watching a team that drives me crazy. And so on some level, you have to love something so much to stay tapped in, right? So we can call it hate watching. And like, it's just the things they do drive me crazy. They drive me crazy. Yeah, it's an abusive relationship, and it's one way.
You know, it's the same old thing, right? That we've seen for the last 3 years with the Giants. It's the same damn thing. Over and over and over. And until management does something about it.
And that's what drives me insane.
Management does something about it, it's like, all right, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens after the season. Are they going to get rid of Farhan or not?
Like, the old Warriors before Steph Curry, I didn't hate watch them. They were miserable. And, you know, I was rooting for them. And there were times where I just, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it was. And you just expected the worst scenario to happen.
Well, they lost
whoever
an exciting
your favorite player was, yeah, was going to leave and be an all-star somewhere else.
Or they lose in exciting fashion. You know, they'd be up 18 on a team. And you're like, wow, Oracle's rocking. And then they start to give up the lead. Like, uh-oh. Uh-oh, how are they going to lose this one? How are they going to lose this one? But, hate watch is strong. I mean, I get it. Like, when you obviously want your rivals, right? You're going to want your rivals to lose.
Yes.
That's all the time.
Yes.
That's baked into the equation. But for the most part, I just like to see greatness. I like to see great athletes and then follow these great athletes. Like, you're talking about Tatum Bethune, and I'm watching Tatum Bethune highlights from Florida State thinking, he was good in that number 15. I forgot he was number 15 at Florida State. And he came up with the big-time interception against Louisville in the ACC championship and made play after play after play, tackling in space. Renardo Green, who was at Florida. And actually, when I was watching Renardo Green and Tatum Bethune highlights yesterday and watching some of their stuff for Florida State, actually got me more ticked off that they didn't get invited to the college football playoff. But it got me ticked off that Jordan Travis got hurt. Because Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt. I truly believe Florida State is winning the national championship. I think they beat Michigan. I think they beat Washington. And I think they hoist the trophy once again for the first time since Jameis Winston. But, you know.
Before I pass you this, let's get legal.
Oh, okay. All right, Zucci, man. All right. I like that.
That one's good.
That's pretty damn good. It's pretty creative, Zucci. Not bad. Listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. All right. Let's do a vibe check with the Niners. Because I feel like the Ayuk and the Trent and the injuries doesn't have a lot of people excited about football or about the start of the season. But Monday Night Football is going to be here sooner rather than later, Shasky. And the fireworks are going to be going off at Levi Stadium. The sun is going to be setting. The JTS are going to be in town. Gang Green's going to be out there in their Jets uniform. Fireman, whatever his name is going to be out there at Levi Stadium. And it's going to be on the crack for another regular season as we look Forge as we look to get back to the Super Bowl and go to New Orleans next season. So what is there to be excited about when it comes to 49er football? There's plenty to be excited about. These rookies that we just mentioned, Bethune, Renardo Green, Jacob Cowick, man, they look promising. How about Deamodor Lenore becoming one of the better corners in all of football alongside Charvarius Ward? What about Nick Bosa and his resurgence tour? What about Brock freaking Purdy, folks? We got a quarterback. For the first time in damn near a decade, we don't have a quarterback controversy. How refreshing is that? We got a quarterback, Shasky. We have a franchise quarterback.
Where are the vibes at? I feel like everybody's like getting onto the arc, and we're going on this long journey as I go Noah on you.
Right.
And we prepare for just, you know, the flood that's incoming of the regular season, which is an attrition to itself. And we're missing a couple guys on the boat. And so when we're all hopping on this arc and we're going on this journey, it just, it feels like we're not ready to depart because we're missing Ayuk and Trent. And not that I'm not excited and all my homies are on the arc and we're high-fiving and we're getting ready to go on this journey and we're preparing everything. It's just we're just waiting for a couple guys. Like, you know, Noah added all the different animals. We're missing the silverback. We're missing Trent. You know, we're missing him, and I need him ready. And so it feels like we're not ready to depart and get ready on this long journey. And it just, to me, the vibes are part of the team is ready to roll, but the other part of the team just isn't ready just yet. And if we got both guys on board, my optimism would be, you know, overflowing, and we'd be ready to leave. I'm not ready to get myself super excited, and it feels like this BA/Trent situation is hijacking my enthusiasm. Which sucks.
I'm fired up, though. You know, they're going to be along for the ride, I believe. And if they're not along for the ride, I can't wait on them. I'm not letting two players hijack my optimism. We've been waiting all off. We haven't had the Warriors play since early April.
I know.
All right? The Giants have stunk and been stuck in mediocrity for the last 3-4 years, ever since 2021. I am ready to roll. Like, I am ready for the New York Jets. I am ready to beat up on the Raiders in the preseason finale. Getting a little taste at Levi Stadium, seeing football, seeing guys run out the tunnel, seeing everything happening with the junior Gold Rush cheerleading squad on the field and everything. I'm ready to roll, folks. I'm not waiting on B.A. Trent Williams anymore. It's football season. Fantasy drafts are around the corner. I'm getting my gambling right. Okay, win totals. Who am I betting on to win over 8 games? Who am I betting on for props? I am ready to roll. So my vibe right now, it's the hell of waiting on Brandon Ayuk and the hell with waiting on Trent Williams. I'm tired of being doom and gloom about football. Oh, I don't know. He's not ready yet. Oh, I don't know. All the injuries. Man, the hell with that. Football is here, folks. So I'm going to do a vibe check. Where are you at right now? Are you getting fired up here for football season? Or can you not? Can you not get fired up because of B.A. and Trent Williams? They're going to be here, in my opinion. I can't wait on these guys. I need good vibes here. 888-957-9570. Is that holding you back from getting ready for football season? Because it has been doom and gloom on the roast. And I'm trying to change that today. We're gonna change that. Ball D730. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldwin with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, if Taylor Swift can't get the vibes right, then I don't know what can. My girl Taylor. Love me some Taylor Swift these days. Sky Hitters. Now that's a banger. It's got nothing on Beyonce. But Taylor Swift ain't bad. She's not bad at all. By the way, Baldy at 7:30. And, oh, now's your time. If you want to have breakfast with the roast, Friday, September 6th, you got a chance to qualify. We're qualifying 2 people today. 2 people, then 2 people Wednesday, 2 people Thursday, 2 people Friday. 10 spots at all, plus a plus one. So, 20 people is going to have breakfast with the roast. And the breakfast is going to be brought to you by Jack's Restaurant. Ooh, it's really good. So listen on this week between 7:30 and 8:30. We have 10 spots we're giving away. Each spot comes with a plus one that you can bring. And when you hear this sounder, There we go. When you hear that sounder, be the 10th caller, and you win a spot for breakfast with the roast. And again, breakfast will be provided by our good friends at Jack's Restaurant, Baldy at 7:30. Let me ask this one, then, since the vibes are off with the 49ers. I'll ask the audience this, 888-957-9570. Now, this could change, and maybe people just aren't ready for football season. But I said, what if I told you, Shasky, if the Niners this season, with the way training camp has gotten off, and it's been a terrible camp, there's no doubt about it, with all the injuries and the holdouts and the hold-ins, if I told you, Shasky, hey, the 49ers aren't going to make the NFC Championship game, despite all this stuff happening, considering how hard it is, considering how teams are getting better within the conference, Green Bay, Detroit, Philadelphia, I think, is going to be back. The Rams maybe have something to do with it. Tampa Bay, they did make the playoffs last year, the division around, and they were a drive away from making the NFC Championship game, and they gave the Niners all they could handle in the regular season. If I said, Joe Shasky, the Niners are going to lose in the second round of the playoffs, What would you say? Would you be disappointed?
In the second round, the divisional round?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that would tell me that they had to play a wild card game probably. And, oh, man, it'd be pretty disappointing because you're also, Luke, like, zooming out at the big picture. Like, is that the last big run for this core? You know, given the finances of where the team's at, the age of where the team's at, and looking forward at like, what Purdy's got going. So, like, I keep coming back to this. Like, best player on the team, probably CMC, if you polled all the fans, right?
Right.
How many prime CMC years we got left?
Don't know. Will we ever see a season like last year? I wouldn't bet on that.
Like, if we just said, like, he's probably got 2 prime seasons left, even that feels aggressive. It's the NFL. Like, anything could happen at any time. And so, like, as long as CMC's here and you got Purdy and Shanahan, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about their chances of competing. And let's just start with winning the division, right? We know it's about winning the Super Bowl, but you got to win the division first, or at least you hope to, because that's the easiest route to clinching a playoff game at home. I'd be really disappointed because this team is really top-heavy. Now, one of the oldest rosters heading into the year and all blah, blah, blah. It's more like this team's been through so many unbelievably long and difficult seasons that it takes a punishing toll. And I just seen it with the Harbaugh era. It is very difficult to pick yourself up after losing the Super Bowl and then go through the grind again and then do it year after year after year, physically, as well as the emotional toll.
Right.
Took them 5 years to go from one Super Bowl to the other. So, like, I would think we're probably in a 2 or 3 year, like, kind of reset.
So, with all that said, though.
It would be sad
with
as
all
hell.
That said, with all that said, though, with losing a Super Bowl and having a Super Bowl hangover and 4 or 5 years played deep into January, early February, it should be disappointing if, say, they didn't make the NFC Championship game. With all that data, and, you know, when we talk about 400 guys who touched the ball for 400 times or 400 times a season, that next season, really, you know, there's a drop-off. And look, it wouldn't surprise anybody if McCaffrey didn't have the season that he had a year ago. Deebo Samuel's yet to have the season that he had in 2021. Hell, Brandon Ayuk may not have the season he had last year. George Kittle, has he ever replicated his great seasons from the late 2019, 2020? You know what I'm saying? He did have 1,000 yards last year.
I was going to say, last year was really good.
He was really good. Will he replicate that? Now you got in new weapons. Now we'll see about Ricky Pearsall if he contributes. We'll see about Juwan Jennings if he contributes. Will Brock Purdy have the type of season he had? Last year was a dream year for the 49ers.
Absolutely.
A dream year.
And they were relatively healthy all year. You know, so, yeah, like, all those things are true. I guess this is kind of where it keeps coming back to. And I hate bringing these guys up as we talk all this hate watch. It just feels like it's the Chiefs to lose. And it feels like they're going to three-peat. And not only are they going to three-peat, they're going to have 4 Super Bowls, and 2 of them are going to be against the Niners, at minimum. And that just sucks. And it feels like we're in an unfortunate era, and we built a really, really, really good team that had 2 opportunities, really great opportunities to win a Super Bowl, and we're going to look back, and we're going to be part of the montage of highlights for somebody else's Canton induction, and it just sucks.
Even though they lost both those games in the last 3 minutes, like, basically they lost on the last play of overtime, and in Miami, had the ball with 1:49 left at the 49-yard line with 3 timeouts left. I mean, they're that close to winning.
Is it the same core? Do you think that the core is the same from the 2019 Super Bowl to now?
No. I mean, Kittle, Warner, Deebo.
The team's turned over a lot.
It's turned over. That's the NFL. Yeah. Greenlaw was there. Greenlaw was part of that team. But no, the safeties are different. Deebo. You know, the safeties are different. Referenced. Yeah. So, no, it is a different core. And that's football, right?
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, it's just when I look at, like, just the NFL as a whole, very few teams with a lot of the same players in a 5-year window lose 2 Super Bowls and then come back and are better and win the, and finally win one. I would be shocked if there's anyone out there that has lost two before winning one. Maybe you've lost one and won one. I would love to know, has anyone lost two Super Bowls and then come back and won one?
Well, John Elway did, right? He lost three Super Bowls.
It took a long time.
I know that, but you just asked me the name.
Let's talk about a team. You know,
a team.
In like a short period of time. Because they've lost two in five years. And then, like, I mean, Elway didn't win the this first one until 96?
Yeah, 96, 97.
So 89 and 96 is 7 years.
97, 98, no doubt.
It's a long time. It's a lot of different.
Buffalo Bills didn't win.
I sound really pessimistic, but I'm telling you. I know,
you're not fired. I'm surprised.
Because a lot of this has to do with the cloud of the IU and Trent situation.
So what is it going to take for you to get fired up for football season?
Well, I mean, obviously, once you know things start happening and on like the first week of the regular season is going to be awesome and all that. The regular season feels so de-emphasized. They were unbelievable in the regular season last year. And they played their worst football in December and January.
So are you going to look at the regular season and say, so like, for example, if they start the season 6-1 and they beat the Chiefs, will you still kind of be like,
No. I'll be super excited be pumped up. Right. But that it's more like, again, increasing your odds of getting the bye. And that's the easiest, quickest path to the Super Bowl. Can you go through the wild card? Can you go through playing all three? I mean, the Chiefs just did it, right? They went on the road. And the Niners are battle-tested. They can go on the road. It's just a lot harder.
See, I thought the vibes were off. And then I attended that preseason game on Sunday against the Saints. And there was a lot of 49er fans at that preseason game against the Saints who were jacked up, stoked that football was back, and were locked in. So I think maybe just being at a game may help, because it certainly helped me. I was like, "All right, I'm good with this. Mm-hmm. Football's back. It's getting closer and closer. You're starting to, you see the schedule. The Warriors schedule came out, and has asked me what road game do you want to go to. And I'm thinking, boy. And then he got a bunch of buddies saying we want to go to Buffalo December 1st. So now my juices are flowing. But a lot of the fans are like you, Shasky, where you just. I could feel it. I could feel the lack of excitement, and I'm a little stunned by it, to be honest with you.
But even then, like, I watched the whole game, and then I watched it back, and then I watched it back, and, like, obviously did the condensed version on the NFL. Like, I still love watching football. I'm over here salivating over a seventh-round linebacker from two, preseason games, right? So I still love the Niners. I still love everything.
I'm not saying you don't.
It just, they feel, to me, it does feel a tick off, like, in terms of the normal optimism.
So how do we get that tick up? How do we get
I'm alone.
Is it? No, I don't think you're alone. Do they need to resign Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, that would be a big help.
Trent Williams coming back? Gene in Oakland, Uncle Gene, what do you think? How do we get your vibes right for football season? Or is your vibes already there?
Get those two guys back, guys. You know, get Williams and Ayuk signed on. That's how you do it. Everybody would get excited again. So listen, to answer your question, would I be disappointed if they lost the championship game? Yeah, I'd be very, very disappointed, probably
devastated. What if they didn't get there?
Oh, boy.
Same thing. Worse, because I expect them to win this year. I really think this is their best chance since they won their last Super Bowl. All right, so, and I draw a distinction between disappointment and devastation. The last year I was disappointed because I didn't expect them to win. I thought Mahomes was in the way, and sure enough, he was. This year, I expect them to get over the hump and win, as long as, health, they don't have any health problems and everybody's on board. But everybody's got to get on board. If I could add one more quick thing, what's worrying me about the melodrama surrounding Ayuk right now is, Pittsburgh, apparently, and Ayuk have agreed on a contract, right? So all the provisions in that contract must be acceptable to both sides. Why can't we do the same thing? We're talking about a third year, something hanging up there. I'm afraid emotions are getting in the way, and as a result, we're hurting ourselves this year.
I hear you, Uncle Gene. I hear you. It's football season, though, man. It's almost go time, man.
Well, there's a reason we don't have any calls, though. Wouldn't you agree? Like, normally, if we just started talking Niners and Optimus, boom, 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 boom.
That's what's sad. I can't live in a football's back. Training camp is here. You get to smell the grass. The chalk is, the white lines are out there getting chalked up. You know, the logos are about to come into the end zones. Guys are hitting left and right. Guys are getting suited up. Guy injuries are happening. Calluses are getting built. The countdown is on, man. We got one preseason game left. It's football season. Oh, come on. We sat here and watched the Giants go 500 all summer long and bore us to death. And all of a sudden, we got the boys back in town trying to redeem themselves and get back to New Orleans. Let's go, man. Football season. It's mid-August. Come on. Shark Week. The hell with it. Let's go.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. Brian Baldinger.
All right, we got Baldy here joining us on the River Islands guest line. We love having Baldy on. Good morning to you all. Guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? But don't forget, over the next 20 minutes, we're qualifying two people to have breakfast with the roast. When you hear this sounder, go ahead and give us a call at 415-523-4652. We'll give away two spots, one in 9 minutes and one in 19 minutes. That'll happen on the roast. Baldy, good morning, man. I'm trying to get this fan base going. It's doom and gloom around these parts, man. Guys are hitting. Oklahoma drills are happening. Maybe not today, Baldy. You know what I mean? But, man, we got a couple preseason games. I got Baldy's breakdown talking to about Dominic Pudi, this rookie from Kansas. I'm ready to roll. I got to get my Shasky ready to roll here. They're caught up in the doldrums and IU can trit. Look, they're going to be here. To hell, if they're not here, then let's ride without them, Baldy. Come on.
Bonte, look, I mean, you got your Pink Floyd shirt on. That's all I know. I mean, last night was a super blue moon, the brightest moon of the entire year. I mean, put some moonshine on this league right now. You came prepared, Bonte. I love it.
Dude, I black on. It's go time. I'm going to New York City next week. I'm going to chill at the U.S. Open for a day. Maybe I'll catch up with you on the East Coast. I may have some special friends with me, Baldy. We go out there and you'll probably sneak in anyway, so it's all good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I don't pay for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I know you don't pay for anything, yeah, Baldy, no, because they're Brian Baldinger. You're the modern-day Madden, but I got the New York Jets getting ready to roll.
Yeah.
I got to think about Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, Robert Saleh wants revenge. It is go time, man. We got to get the vibes right around here, Baldy.
Well, I don't know what, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't have vibes. I mean, I'm not out there. I'll be out there on Thursday morning. I guess I'm going to miss you. Me and Joe are going to hold down the fort. But
no,
I'm pretty
here,
psyched
Baldy.
About
no,
it.
No, 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 Baldy, I'll be here.
Okay.
Oh, I'll
all
be
right.
here. I'm not missing that.
All right. No, I'm pretty psyched to come into the studio, man. And if there's anybody that is, I don't know, dragging a little bit right now, mid-August, we'll be there to pick them up.
All right, let's go.
Baldy, what did you make of just what happened this week with the 49ers? They had Aaron Banks not playing because of the finger injury. Trent obviously holding out. None of the normal weapons, not even the twos. It was like the threes and the fours of the weapons out there. A running back who's probably not going to make the team. And then your starting quarterback in Brock Purdy, who is extremely important to the franchise, just not only for this year but long term. What was your read on and him going out there and playing the 10-11 snaps?
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to play with Trent Taylor and Braden Willis and, you know, Schrader and these guys, like, is that who you want your quarterback to be with? Like, I know you want to kind of get them, you know, just get them through into the rhythm of everything, but at least give them an option to throw it to. I'm watching these guys step out of bounds on routes. I'm watching guys, you know, fall on their faces. I mean, I'm watching a left tackle give up, you know, a big hit to Brock. So, I mean, it's just I don't know. If you're going to sit everybody, and I mean everybody, why not sit your quarterback also? I mean, that would be my take with it.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense watching Jaylon Moore out there and Brock Purdy right around. I was at the game, Baldy. Nobody was open. I'm sure you watched the film. Nobody could uncover. But there were some bright spots on Sunday. Jacob Cowing, this rookie out of Arizona, made a name for himself. Now, Danny Gray's been in the program for a long time. I'm not sure how long he's going to be part of this program. Trent Taylor, you just mentioned. We've seen it before. It is what it is with him, right? But Jacob Cowing gives the Niners something a little different, a different dimension, a little wiggle. This number 83 kid out of Arizona caught over 90 balls last year in the Pac-12. What did you think of Jacob Cowing on Sunday, Baldy?
Man, a couple nice catches. I mean, what can you say? I mean, he showed promise, route running. I mean, some of the things that you're looking for, but he looked like he belonged. I mean, it's a very small sample size, but, you know, he was one of the rookies that I think popped a little bit. You know, I had few more guys that look like they popped a lot to me in the rookie class, but, you know, including Renardo and Dominic and whatnot. But I thought, you know, he got a chance to get out there and kind of show what he could do. That's about as far as I'm going to say right now.
Let's get into Dominic Pooney, because right guard was an issue last year for the Niners. They were rotating the position. We know what happened in the Super Bowl. Brandon Ayuk standing in the end zone. It feels like they got themselves a steal here with this third round.
I agree. You got to find starters in the third and fourth round on your offensive line, Joe. And he played over 40 snaps the other day. And, you know, a lot of them were against first team, you know, New Orleans Saints. I mean, Brian Breezy's a first round pick. He there's two games now. I haven't really seen a bad play. Like, the guy, he knows how to cover people up. His feet move. He's got good length. He's got great size. And he's got good power. And he takes good angles, you know, in the run game. You got to block the second level if you're going to have a successful rushing attack or running play. And he can do that. I can't find a bad play. Maybe on some traps he could take better angles. You can kind of declare whether they're trapping or logging the outside guy. But regardless, I mean, he looks like he belongs. He handles the stunts inside well. He covers guys up. I love his size and I love his power and just the consistency that I've seen from him. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Banks right now, injury wise. I don't follow all that stuff. I know they got to upgrade the right guard position. I think he upgrades it right now.
Yeah, I think he's a day one starter, Baldy. As we're talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line, he's taken all the starter reps over the last couple weeks in training camp. I think it's his job to lose. I would not be surprised if he's starting week one against the New York Jets. But what do you think about this young man out of Florida State, Renardo Green, cornerback? He's starting to make some waves out here, and they're deep in this room with Deommodore Lenore, Tarvarius Ward. You got Rocky Hockenson. You got Isaac Yiddum coming over from the New Orleans Saints. What about Renardo Green, Baldy? Break him down.
Well, I mean, he's going up against an elite player the other day in Chris Olave, going up against Derek Carr. He's going up there, you know, up against their number one offense. He made a great play on third down, defended a pass on the sideline. I mean, exactly what you want to see. It's one-on-one coverage. It's their best receiver against your rookie corner, and he wins. Now, Olave beat him on a dig route over the middle on a little post-dig combination, but he was right there. I mean, he was really where he's supposed to be. You know, he's in his upfield shoulder. He tackles the catch. He made a tackle coming off the receiver when the back broke. I think it was Williams that broke one, and he made the tackle to save it from going further. His foot speed, his break on the ball, all that stuff showed up the other day. I mean, you saw the whole sideline explode on that 3rd-and-7 play where he made the play on Olave. I saw guys jumping off the sideline to go congratulate the kid. So you could tell that, you know, they're behind him, they're watching. I'm sure he's doing some of those things in practice right now as well. You'd love to see him getting work against a guy like Brandon Ayuk, you know, which could only sharpen his skills. But I thought he showed up big the other day.
You know, Baldy, this team has run a very specific defense for the last like 5-6 years. They did the wide nine, and it was always 4 linemen with their hand in the dirt at some point, right? Crouched down, if you will. And this last week and the week prior, I saw 3 down linemen, and then the 4th guy standing up. I don't know if it was a linebacker. There was sometimes they had an edge rusher, like a D end or whatever. Is that the Sorensen effect? Is that the Brandon Staley influence? Did you notice that as well? Because that surprised me, given how specific this defense has been the last 5-6 years.
Oh, it's changing, Joe. It's a good observation. I mean, I've talked to Nick about what he's going to do. He's going to stand up this year. He's going to drop. They're going to have a lot more ways to get to the quarterback, whether it's zone pressures, more different types of blitzes. I mean, they've been largely a 4-man front forever, since Kyle's been there. And, you know, their idea of a blitz was to bring Fred Taylor and bring a 5th rusher or bring the slot defender. Well, I mean, if you watch the Super Bowl, and I know we have, you probably watched it 5 or 6 times now, look at what Spags is doing. You've got to find different ways to get to the quarterback quickly with free hitters. And I think you're going to see some of that from Nick. It could be some, you know, I'm sure Brandon Staley's in these rooms and he's not being quiet. I'm sure he's, you know, showing some of the things he did to win a Super Bowl a few years ago. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see a lot more versatility than what you're used to and accustomed to seeing.
What can we expect from Nick Bosa dropping back in coverage if he does drop back in coverage? Is he capable?
I don't know how much he's going to drop. But I think, you know, he has always been a hand-in-the-ground pass rusher. And, you know, that's good. But there's so much pre-snap motion in this business right now. There's so many things going on if you're playing Kansas City, if you're playing some of these teams, that I don't know if Nick is in that stance where he's like as low as the, you know, your roadside curb. I don't know that you can see all that stuff. And I think the more that you can see, I think, you know, I'm talking to Von Miller and Max Crosby about some of the stuff. The more you can see, the more you can kind of anticipate what's coming. And so I think you'll see Nick, as good as he is coming off the edge, that low that he is, I think you're going to see him rushing standing up, in a 2-point stance, which we're unaccustomed to seeing. And I think you will see him dropping a little bit. And, you know, I don't know how often. I wouldn't want to drop Nick too often.
Right.
I know if I was the offensive tackle, I'd be breathing a sigh of relief if he's dropping. But I think, you know, look, if you get somebody free to the quarterback coming from the other side, then it's a good changeup.
Yeah, you don't want to post.
Oh, we got to qualify somebody. So we get Baldy Thursday, and it's September the 6th. A lucky listener will get to have breakfast with Shasky and I September the 6th, that Friday. So go ahead and call the contest line, 415-523-4652, 415-523-4652. Be caller number 10. Caller number 10, we'll get to have some Jack's breakfast with the morning roast.
I like it. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, exclusively post up Steph Curry, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the analogy I would use regarding dropping Bosa into coverage. It does feel, though, like this team, there's a seismic shift going on in terms of strength of that defense. I feel like for the first time in a long time, the strength is maybe the back end, the corners, the safeties. I'm a little weary about this front when it comes to the defensive line. What are you seeing from some of these other guys who are going to play alongside Bosa? I know Floyd didn't play, and obviously, you know, Hargrave didn't have the greatest year last year. Is there anybody that's showcasing themselves that stands out, good or bad, from the preseason tape?
I mean, they started their second team defensive line last week, and nobody got off a block.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't see much, including, you know, Yetur Gross-Matos and Elliott. And, you know, Givens is always going to give you everything he's got. I didn't see anything from Robert Beal. Like, you know, I mean, I think what you're going to see, what you saw in preseason the other day was, I mean, a lot of press man coverage, challenging these receivers, challenging these routes. I think they've got the corners to do it. I would agree. Yeah, Tig showed up as he usually does. You know, it'd be great to get Hufanga back. They lost Jimmy Ward. He's doing his thing down in Houston now, just got himself an extension. So, you know, those are big shoes to fill. But I think, you know, they drafted his replacement in Tig, and so he showed up the other day. But I do. I believe that maybe the strength for the first time might be the back end. Now, I don't want to, you know, say that, you know, when you put Floyd and you put Bosa and Hargrave out there and Malik Collins, I mean, that can be an elite defensive front. You want to see a lot more from the backups than what you've seen. You don't want to see Nick having to play 85-88% right. of the snaps through the course of a right. season if you can get away with it.
That was my big takeaway from the game, being there Sunday, Baldy, was that the depth on the defensive line could be a problem. John Lynch may have to work the phones like he did last year when he brought in Randy Gregory and Chase Young. Just the depth on the defensive line are getting pushed off the ball, no outside containment. It was rough watching it, but you brought up the back end here. And one guy who is making waves out here is the Nigerian missile, Malik Mustafa. He seems like a Baldy type of guy. Every time you look up, he's popping somebody. Let us know what you saw from the guy at Wake Forest who's now making waves out here on the West Coast, Baldy.
Well, I mean, you know, the hits are the hits. I mean, you see him, the guys go backwards when he lays the wood to him. It's going to come down to how he handles just the passing game right now. I have no question that he can hit. They love playing their eight-man fronts, especially New Orleans, and was in a two-back set the other day. So there's a lot of eight-man fronts, single high safety. And that's where he's going to be able to flourish if he's down there. You know, the way we've seen Hufanga down there, you know, he's basically another linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a downhill player. He pops, you know, when he hits people. But, you know, those kind of players now, you know, you got to show that they can cover too. When teams spread you out, it's third down. Can you stay on the field? Can you cover tight ends? Can you cover slot receivers? All the things that, you know, Jimmy had done for a number of years there. Like, you know, you've got to show that versatility, and that is kind of yet to be seen. But I don't think there's any question that when he hits you, the play ends.
Yeah. You know, I'm watching not just the Niner game, but just around the league, right? And I feel like preseason isn't the end-all, be-all, because we obviously know that there's practice, you know, these what are they
scrimmages.
Called?
Organized scrimmages.
Scrimmages, and then you got practice and all that stuff. So there's a lot that gets baked into everything. But I look at these preseason games, and I would love your input on this. Like, do you look completely overwhelmed? I'm watching Hayner, the kid from Fresno State. He just looks really overwhelmed. But then I'm looking around the league. I'm like, wow, Bo Nix looks pretty solid, you know. Penix looks pretty solid in the game he played prior. Jaden Daniels looks pretty solid. Caleb, in the game that you were broadcasting the other day as I was texting you, he looks pretty damn solid. So as a guy that played in the league, what are you looking for in these preseason games in terms of, you know, can a guy play or not? What's the indicators?
Well, I mean, if you look at, just say Bo Nix the other night, you could just tell that Sean Payton is game planning heavily to make it not easy, but to really simplify it for him as much as possible. It's a classic case. I mean, half his plays, completions are off play action, run action. Look, he's moved the team. The team's responded, but it's also been some excellent game planning, whether it's play action stick routes, play action movement, you know, toss. A hard toss action, getting the defense to flow, come back the other way. I mean, Sean Payton is doing a remarkable. I mean, he's just a great play caller and he's a great play designer, and it's helped his young quarterback. I think Cliff's done a good job with Jaden Daniels on some of the things that he has done, and so I think the quarterbacks. I think that, you know, Shane Waldron has done a good job, although I would say Caleb did a lot of what Caleb is capable of doing, where he's created a lot of that offense by his, you know, rare ability to move and what he's able to see.
Baldy, the throw to Rome out of bounds might have been the best throw.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a classic case of extending the play, eyes up down the field. There's nothing there, but yet he extends the play, a little Steph Curry, like, stutter and go to freeze the defensive end, then to make the throw. And, you know, all Rome's got to do is keep those feet and bounce another touchdown. I mean, it's, the guy's a great freelancer. Some of the things, you know, a lot of detractors said he can't do in the NFL. Well, he's going to do it. Now, we got to see, can he stay healthy? Can he avoid the turnovers? Some of the things happen, they happen to Josh Allen. When he tries to extend some of those plays, we'll see, you know, with the great athletes that he's going up against, if he could continue to do that at the, you know, regular season right now.
Talking football with Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line, looking back at the Niners situation at the quarterback spot, the backup job, because we know Purdy is the guy, and, you know, he's going to be the guy, and he had a spectacular season. But the backup, Brendan Allen and Joshua Dobbs, and Dobbs made a lot of people go crazy Sunday at Levi's with some of the runs there. Who do you think is more capable to run this system as the backup quarterback? Is it Brendan Allen or is it Joshua Dobbs? Because Baldy, at times, I thought Dobbs, although he looked great running around, I thought, boy, he's bailing from the pocket a little too quickly, man. He's eyes downfield, boom, rush comes in, and he's already scrambling. I'm not sure Shanahan is a big fan of that.
Well, I don't think he would be either. But, you know, if, like, there's a lot of smart people in this world, and then there's Joshua Dobbs. Like, this guy's intelligence level is off the charts. Like, I would love to see him in a Kyle Shanahan, you know, skull session, going through plays, designs. I mean, you saw it last year when he gets straight on a Tuesday and he starts on Sunday.
Right.
And what Kevin O'Connell's able to do in his headset.
And he wins.
The guy processes information, any information. You want to talk about, you know, space technology. Like, I don't care what the subject is. This guy has got a rare mind. Now, you look, running around is great. It's not what the offense is designed to do. But I do think he's very, very smart. And I think he's meant to be in this league for a long time. He's got a great career whenever it does end. But I think he's going to really enjoy playing and learning this system. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't become the backup.
Wow. Doesn't he have kind of like a, I know we're talking about backups here, but it is important. But like when I'm watching him, there's a little bit of a Garcia feel to him where he's frenetic, almost like that's kind of his like off speed. And I don't know. He's just, he's a fun player. And I'm with Bonte on the fact that there are times where he does just bail on a play that I think I'd like to see him climb the pocket.
Throws
as opposed
a nice
to just,
ball. Throws
just,
a nice ball.
Yeah,
though.
You know, but, I mean, some of these receivers, like Trent Taylor, catch the ball in the end zone. You know, Danny Gray, the ball was underthrown on the one over the middle with the blitz came in, and I'd like to see Dobbs step into it. But Danny Gray, catch the ball. These receivers that are behind Ayuk and Debo on the depth chart, yuck for the Niners. Like, I'm not loving the separation or the ball skills.
But, I mean, honestly, Joe, I think the reason why this deal hasn't gotten done is because they know they need a starting receiver in return. Like, I think everybody can get the terms worked out and the compensation is pretty much set. But, you know, what receiver can the 49ers get in return that can upgrade or at least come close to what Ayuk does? I mean, I don't know if anybody is going to throw anybody like that out there. But, I mean, at least somebody better than what we just saw. Because they don't look like they're any kind of the answer to this offense. Maybe Ronnie Bell's got a spot, you know. You know, we know Jennings does because of his size, and he's a dependable guy, and he's hard not to like and hard not to miss. But, I mean, that's when you start looking at this depth chart of receivers right now, there's not a lot that gets you excited at this point.
No, Danny Gray, Trent Taylor.
I like Tay Martin, but he's not.
And we want to get excited about Ricky Pearsall. How much, I mean, for a rookie receiver not finishing camp, it's a disaster right now for Ricky Pearsall.
It's a disaster. I mean, I don't care what position you are as a rookie. You're going to be swimming as it is. Even if you're practicing every day, your head's going to be swimming. Because just the installation, the volume of offense, all of the checks, all the things you got to know to play fast. Like, you got to be on the field to do it. And if you're going through walkthroughs, sitting in meetings, you're not getting it. You're just not. You're not having any chance to make mistakes, to work on your craft. Like, I'm not saying the year is dead because it's a long season, but the idea that he could come in and contribute right now against the Jets, against an elite secondary, even if he does get healthy between now and then, I would say that it's, and I don't want to say that he can't do it. I think it's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Last spot. We'll get the names on the other side here. Caller number 10 right now, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. You could have breakfast with the roast Friday, September the 6th, as we kick off football season. Of course, the Niners open up on Monday Night Football against the New York Jets.
Baldy, before you get out, you're around all these players, and I know the modern athlete is different. Pete Rose has one of my favorite. I do a lot of youth coaching, so it's nowhere near, you know, the professional level, but Pete Rose has a saying, and I love this one, because you can't coach everyone the same. Some people, you pat on the back. Some people, you kick in the butt. And some people you don't talk to at all. And the point is that you can't coach everyone the same. What was your take on Tua talking about Brian Flores and their relationship, quarterback and head coach?
I mean, it was a stark contrast. You know, one guy is pumping him up and saying that he's the best and most accurate quarterback in this league, and we can't run the system without you. And the other guy is saying you're trash. Like, I mean, I think he was as honest and direct as possible. Now, I'm not here to trash Brian Flores, but, you know, your quarterback, you can say all those things, but you also, I mean, because Bill Parcells did some of that to Phil Sims, but you also better love him up as well.
Yep.
You can say certain things to players, all right, and you can work that angle of it to drive them, to make them better, to make them work, whatever it is. But you better love them up at the same time. And that's not just modern-day players. I mean, that's just coaching in general. Like, there's got to be a push and a pull to it. It was not, you know, if Brian's looking to get an endorsement to become a head coach, he's doing a great job as a defensive coordinator right now. But if he's looking for an endorsement to become another head coach and get a second crack at it, that's not what you want to hear.
No.
And anybody that knows Tua Tua is not doing any of that to be inflammatory, to speak hyperbole. Like, Tua's just a straight shooter.
Yep.
That's who he is. So that was not very endearing to Brian.
No, I'm with you there. I thought the same thing. Tua's not going to go out of his way just to trash somebody. He's a very honest young man, Tua Tagovailoa. So that's not it here. Baldy, give me something on the New York Jets, man. Offensively, where are they at right now? I saw Mike Williams is coming back to practice. I'm going to start getting my mindset on the New York Jets. I need like 3 weeks of prep on them. I really do, man. I don't want this game so bad, because I think they're going to come in flying high with Aaron Rodgers or Robert Saleh. And that's a stacked roster. They got a lot of talented players here. What are some of their weaknesses? What are some of their strengths you've seen so far from the New York Jets in the preseason?
Well, I think Breece Hall could lead the league in rushing. I mean, he's just that good.
Wow.
And last year at this time, he wasn't even in pads. He wasn't taking a hit. He wasn't doing anything. And about week six, week seven last year, like, he started popping behind a broken offensive line. This guy is a true home run hitter. Like, he's rare. And he catches the ball, and he's going to get a lot of touches. Garrett Wilson, like, he's getting 1,000 yards from quarterbacks that threw a combined in 17 games, 11 touchdown passes last year. Like, you know, Aaron is going to get protected, and he's just different. Aaron's just different. He's just, and it's not even just being smart. He just understands every nuance of the game. He's gonna find your weakness. He's going to prey on your weakness. He's going to get the right play in there. If this defense gets a chance to play with the lead, and they can turn some angry dogs up front loose, they're going to be a very, very good football team, and they're going to be hard to beat.
Cannot wait.
Touchdown. That is an incredible
stat. That is incredible. They were awful at the quarterback spot. We'll talk more about that Thursday, Baldy, when you're live in studio for 4 hours. We're going to have some fun, Baldy. We're going to crank this thing up, man. My Niner fans just, right here, they're out there like it's a funeral.
Just get me a big old steak, all right? Just get me a steak. I'm going to gnaw on it and a bone. Throw the 4 hours, I'm good to go.
All right, big old ribeye, 15
ounces. Yeah, big ribeye, bone big ribeye.
Six in the morning, huh?
Yeah, I start early.
All right, let's do it.
I need my red meat. I'm good to go.
All right, let's do that.
We'll reach out to some people we know.
All right,
guys.
Good stuff. See you on Thursday.
Take care, guys.
Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line, breaking down the 49ers roster, looking around the league as well. Tua on Brian Flores, the New York Jets. We'll see them soon enough. But in the meantime, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report. By Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, the Giants gutted out one against the pesky White Sox, the 30-96 Chicago White Sox. But they had to do it. Those tough Giants, resilient, right? Had to do it without Patrick Bailey in the lineup. There's a late scratch last night with tightness in his right side, but fear not, Giants fans. Bailey said that his removal from the lineup was only cautionary, and this is not expected to lead to a long-term absence. Maybe he needs a couple days off, though, because the bat has been MIA for most of summer for Patrick Bailey. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Guards, another California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We react to some of the sound that Baldy said. And then Bill Belichick. I want to hear from Bill Belichick, who said a lot of things on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And he broke down his philosophy with hold-ins and hold-outs. It's a five-minute cut, but damn, it was so good. Bill Belichick, we'll play some of that on the other side here on The Roast.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.